Marvin Ray. Good afternoon and welcome everybody to another Case Fairly. Our last program in 1949, isn't it scary? Yeah, the last program of this decade, the last one of this half century, the last one of the 1940s. Matinee with Bob and Ray of Public Service, presented by Harvard University. Today's prize-winning script submitted by President Cohen.
In case we don't get here Monday, Happy New Year, everybody.
We'll be here Monday, or else, as you know, we can both be replaced.
We can both be counted on to be here Monday.
Just remember that if this job is too big for us, we can leave, Bob. And I want to make that abundantly clear.
That's what we've been told.
And you musicians, though, before I say another thing, I want to thank you all for what you've done to me this year.
You remember the first part of the year, Ken and Bill introduced a great new song. Ken played it, I believe, first as a solo. We're going back over the highlights of the last year.
Sounded just like that last year.
That's right, and he's had a year to practice it, but it still sounds just as bad.
Hello? Yes, of course.
We made a very historic phone call last...
Jimmy, Mark Perkins is on the phone, Bob. He wants to know what to do with Shuffle. He's prematurely celebrating the holiday.
Give him the weekend off.
Take the weekend off, or tell him to take the weekend off, Mark.
Thanks, Ray.
Quiet, Shuffle. Yeah, okay, Mar.
I'm all right here, and I'm all right.
Uh-oh. Mark Perkins tells me that she's under federal indictment for peddling green lumber from the old lumber yard, Bob.
Well, we'll have to wait for Monday to find out what happens to her, I guess.
No, we won't. As a matter of fact, she's telling me now.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. But I can't tell. That would be breaking some sort of a code in radio.
Breaking a cliffhanger or something.
Incidentally, Cliffhanger, as you all know, friends, is a great musician.
Thanks, Ray.
And welcome, Cliff, to our program.
Well, sir, it's been quite a long while.
Wait a minute. I say goodbye. Goodbye, my friend.
Bye, Ray.
It's
been quite a long while since my first visit up here this year, but it was an auspicious one.
It certainly was. And do you want that pivot tooth back?
Thanks very much.
I suggest you don't use the word auspicious anymore.
Don't use the word auspicious?
You don't look good when you say it, you know?
Oh, okay.
You look kind of excited about it.
Right, all.
Try some other word like fright. Let me hear you say that.
Fright. F-R-I-T-E. Fright.
Well, you know, we're not running...
Falderol. P-H-O-L-D.
No
spelling. What day was our great spelling bee this past year?
Well, that was one great program we had. You all remember our spelling bee when we had some very talented young men and young women.
The winner of our spelling bee was little Harvey Crumlet, who's here today.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Tell us his name.
Hello, everybody. It's
Sorry.
Grand to be back.
What was the word?
Back with you all.
What was the word that tripped you up, Harvey?
Falderol.
And did you finally get the correct spelling of it?
Finally, I got it down pretty good. Falderol. F-O-L. Falderol. Capital F-O-L. Hyphen. D. Falderol.
Try once more.
Small F-O-L-D-E-A.
Yeah.
Falderol. P-H-A-O-L-D.
I'm sorry. Doesn't look as if you've progressed much in the last year.
I've got
year,
a Kimbo either. Down now.
A Kimbo?
A-K-I-M-B-O-U-G-H.
Right. Kimbo. A Kimbo. Okay. And then that's Harvey Crumlet. We'll hear from him.
Juxtaposition. J. Capital J-U-X.
That's a small J.
Small J. Juxtaposition. Small J-U-X.
T-A.
Juxtaposition. I don't know. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, that's all right. You keep it up, will you?
I can't get
that. Maybe your spelling will improve. What else did we do? What was another big thing we did? We were at several historic things. Bob and Ray is there.
Bob and Ray is there. Presented the famous Battle of Crumlet.
Remember back in July, we called in our on-the-scene reporter at the Battle of Crumlet?
June 4th, 1530. The Battle of Crumlet. Bob and Ray is there. Hold up, steady.
I'm speaking to you from my vantage point high atop a wall here on the commanding hill looking over the position where pretty soon the soldiers of the opposing army will probably be riding up. I believe I hear the band coming down the field now, and let's turn down there on the field, see if we can pick up some of this band music.
Napoleon's troops are attired in gay red ballet slippers. And also muskets.
Excuse me, Ray, for butting in. I believe there's another band approaching me here.
Before we swing down for that band music, Bob.
Oh, I excuse you. Did you have something to say?
Yes, I did. I brought one of the commanding generals here to the microphone for you to interview.
All right, sir. And your name is what, please?
Bob Montefiore. Fine.
Of course, you understand he speaks in another language.
Foreign language.
Foreign language, and we can't understand just what it is he is saying. But we are here. And I believe there's another band coming down the field. Oh, they passed by and we didn't...
Excuse me, did this phone ring?
Yes, I think it did.
Hello.
Hello, Ray.
Hello, Lum. How's everything?
Hello, Mom.
You're interrupting. We're running down through some. We're running down through some of the great programs of 1949.
Yeah.
And I believe if you could call back, say, at 1:31 or 2, we could talk with you.
All right.
Is that all right?
All right, listen there.
All right, Lon. Well, do you remember the famous broadcast we did from the Red Sox dugout last summer?
That was wonderful. I believe you handled that.
I handled
things over to you at the Red Sox park. That was on a historic day, as I remember.
Then we also did the final game at the Yankee Stadium when the Red Sox lost out in that last game of the Yankees.
Direct from the dugout right after that game, and we heard on-the-spot interviews with several of the...
I remember going up to Mr. McCarty and saying, Joe, and he said...
Then,
All you are 1-2 hours old, I am buzzing.
And we had some auspicious commercials last year. Excuse the expression.
Some what kind of commercials?
Well, some big ones.
I warned you about that word.
Remember, we were sponsored by U.S. Steel for quite a long while.
That's right. That was awful nice of those folks.
Nice working for them.
We just didn't sell steel, friends. I don't know why you think the program could sell steel.
We offered the Handy burglary kit for 3 or 4 weeks after that.
Remember that one, friends, when we sold you suction shoes for walking upside the buildings?
Also, together with the first order, you'd receive the Bob and Ray How to Enter the Profitable Field of Burglary for Fun and Profit.
Remember, we also told you of 4 employees of First National Bank who would sing.
And together with floor plans of several national banks throughout the country.
Well, that was a big seller and went over great in America.
Do you remember how you got that? You simply... I wrote for it, and it came to you COD when the postman arrived. You took $2.98 from him. That started you on your career.
Remember that? Well, they're all gone, so don't be writing for any more, friends. Please don't, because we're all out of them.
Mary, you had a great, great conspicuous first in the year 1949.
Well, my first record came on the market, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And it went over just like a lead balloon.
I know, I remember that one. That teamed up Mule Train and one of Nick Kenny's great songs. How about giving us half a chorus of Nick Kenny's song, huh?
I don't remember it.
Well, hum it.
I'd like to be a cow in Switzerland, where the skies are always blue, where the milkmaid yodel all the day to their sweetheart. Miles and miles away.
Then in September, we introduced a couple... Well, that was enough. These are just
right,
the reasons,
yeah,
you know.
Certainly, I'm sorry.
Ray and I introduced...
Ray, just sing it over in the...
Well, you go over in the corner and sing, because Ray and I introduced the song.
Quiet, Mary. Take your hands out of the marshmallow.
You remember the one we did, K2Me song? Do you remember what that
K2Me
was?
K2Me song?
Don't you remember that song she wrote and we harmonized?
The music goes round and round?
No,
oh.
No, this was the new one.
Spanish?
No.
Ray, that was... Hiki Kamuko wrote that one.
I know what it was. Let's harmonize. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
We did a wonderful job on that.
Too bad we don't have the words. We could do it again.
We never did.
Uh-oh. I tell you what, why don't we look around for the words? Well, we can, as a matter of fact. They're in Bill Green's private locker, which is conveniently located, friends, for television.
I wish you wouldn't leave sandwiches in there so long, Bill.
There's a small drugstore in there, too. Are you insisting on inhisting, Bill? Do you have any inhiston in there?
He has some eyewash there.
Poses a question. Where are they now?
I don't know.
Well,
they haven't been with us for quite a while. We do have Chesterfields. Would you like to...
Who's our guest Chesterfield star today? Before we play it, you remember, friends, about several features that we told you about Chesterfield that you never talk about, that the people don't know about, probably, that you can take the paper off of Chesterfield. There's a little strip of glue on it. You wet it, and you can hold that little locks of hair.
If you put more glue on the paper.
Yeah. Of course, you can save the tobacco to put in your pipe. But that's another one of those many things that you can do. No, that isn't the song.
No, that's not the one, Bill. We never did learn that one.
Oh, this is called Gee, It's Tough to Be a Skunk.
This one we really made popular this past year, though.
Why don't they play it?
Chesterfield satisfied women and men. Chesterfield over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by easy.
Now let's introduce young Dr. Brent.
Hi, folks.
7 years old. This year marked a big thing in Dr. Brent's life because he performed one of his most dangerous operations.
I remember that very well.
I remember.
My own brain.
I remember that. We were there in the operating room with you. We heard you say to your nurse,
"Hand me the scalpel, please."
Okay, Doc.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Stop.
We have a small...
Did Radio Registry send you over as a nurse?
They did, yes.
Hear that voice again.
Okay, Doc.
I don't know, something about a nerd to talk
well,
like
that. Well, he said something about you got a small budget up here.
I know we've got a small budget.
And I could be used in the Western scenes, too.
Can you also play a gangster part?
Anything you want.
Okay, well, then we can use you, maybe. All right, so the nerd sounds like that. That's just organ music.
Here's your scalpel, Doc. By the way, here's your scalp, too.
Thanks.
What do you think's the matter with him?
Take his pulse, will you?
What do you want me to take?
On his arm.
Oh.
Wait a minute,
see.
Hand me up a blotter there, would you?
Well,
okay.
I like that red gown you're wearing, Doc.
It was white when I came in.
Let's see now. I wonder if he's getting enough oxygen here.
I don't know. Slap him in the face. See if he hits.
Yeah. Hey, ow! Wake up there.
Better give him a little more
strength. Yeah, he needs a little more, I guess.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh. I think he stopped reading, Doc.
Wait a minute. Let's pull up this sheet. Up over his head. Oh. Now let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Let's ride. Come on. For his second offering, our organist, Mr. Wilson, will play.
Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
Caroline.
Can't you hear me calling out?
I want some volunteers to go with me to the past. There's been some dirty work.
What kind of dirty work?
Laundry.
1949 as well.
As well as
the year when we touched serious situations like that involving the return of Little Skipper to Linda and David's lives.
Next, Linda Lovely.
Written for radio by A. Carrington Love and starring Marcia Van Allshot as Linda, Sherman L. Sturley as David. Let's turn back the clock to a day late in summer, the small house in River's Mouth. The clock is striking 3, and David and Linda have just come in from the garden where they have had a mid-afternoon picnic.
David, darling.
I heard you call me, so I...
David, would you like cocoa?
I believe I'll have a cup, yes.
Oh, my darling.
And...
Oh, David, there's a rose in your mouth.
I know that.
Oh.
Pass me one of those...
Oh, my darling.
Peanut butter sandwiches.
David, you're so strong.
Excuse me, Linda, your dress is on fire.
Oh. Well.
I'll help you put it up. There.
Thank you, David.
It's
so strong. Strong, my darling.
Awfully warm for July, wouldn't you say?
Yes, David.
Have you heard from Lawyer Tucker?
He called this morning. He said Skipper will be coming home soon.
Little Skipper coming back home.
David, I can't go on.
That went on for 3 weeks, and we didn't require any lines or anything. Then in September, a new character entered Linda and David's lives.
Miserable life.
Uncle Eugene came upon the scene.
Uncle Eugene?
It was just at the time when Linda had received a sterling silver imitation ivory love brooch in the shape of a piston ring.
Say, Linda, that's a mighty beautiful sterling silver ivory type piston ring love brooch you're wearing there.
It was sent to me by an anonymous sender.
Who sent it to you?
An anonymous sender.
Boy, that is mighty beautiful there on the back of your neck.
Thank you.
I'll bet all of your friends would like to receive one exactly like it, too.
Oh, I don't suppose they could, because I have the only one in the world.
It's
this little handy locket here.
That's a locket,
I thought. Excuse me a minute. Do you see this handy locket here?
Yes.
See what I can keep in it? Stockings.
Say, that's a mighty big locket, isn't it?
Yes.
I used to have a locket like that in high school and kept my books in it.
Oh, Uncle Eugene, you're so strong. And now your thumbs are...
Linda, it would be so wonderful if all of your friends could receive one of these genuine...
Wouldn't it be wonderful if the sponsor could make his way clear?
Oh, I should imagine they'd be much too expensive, Aunt Linda, to send to all of your many friends who would send a box top and 10 cents for handling and mailing.
I have a feeling that the announcer at the end of the program will have something special to say about this brooch.
Oh, if only he would.
Oh, it's too much to expect.
Too much to expect, I suppose.
Is that telephone ringing?
No, it isn't.
Then that collar is too tight on my neck.
Well, we listened a little bit later and heard the announcer make that wonderful
announcement.
Yes, ladies, get in on this great thing. Be the first one in your neighborhood with a genuine imitation sterling ivory brooch.
Be a big wheel in your gang.
Remember, you catch it at the back of the neck with a Tootsie Roll.
What else do we have in that?
Be the first member in your crowd to wear this exclusive Linda Lovely brooch.
Be a pillow in your society.
Pillow.
Pillar in your society. What other things do we have in 1949?
Well, we were fired once and then rehired.
Luckily, it was on a Saturday and we were back to work Monday.
They had forgotten about it. No, but we won't reenact those horrible scenes,
certainly.
We should avoid them. I think we should turn to Ken and Bill, the 385th Field Artillery Orchestra.
That's right. The song that received the most requests during the past year for Ken and Bill to play.
Send them home, it's called.
You by Ken and Bill.
Hey, Bob.
Hmm?
Did you happen to see the schedule this morning where it made mention of the fact that the Boston Traveler, starting this coming Wednesday, would have...
Boston, wait a minute, Ray. I've heard that name somewhere before.
Boston Traveler, newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, starting Wednesday, the 4th of January, they're going to have the adventures of, I think, Skip-Along Garibaldi. Is that right?
I think that's his name, or Jump-Along Muldoon or something?
Well, I don't know. So I went out and I found this transcription, and I thought we could play it and
tell the whole story?
Yeah, remind everyone about it.
Okay.
So, and I picked out two good men to go to work on this transcription.
Well, I know, being in the talent business as you have been so long.
You see, I have my finger on it all the time.
Sure.
I have my finger on the pulse of the nation.
Uh-huh.
I remember one time when I was handling Dave Rubinoff and his violin. Come on, Bob. There goes that ornery vomit now.
Not me, Ray. I ain't going after him. I'm staying right here.
You mean?
Yeah, I'm yelling.
Come to think of it, so am I. Here, let's hold up here.
Hold up there, old tangle.
Hold up there, boy. Hold up. Oh, we ain't got nothing to worry about. Why, look who's here. Hop along.
All right, partners. This is your friend Hopalong Cassidy. I've got some good news for you. Starting Wednesday, January 4th, I'm going to be with you every day on the comic pages of your favorite newspaper.
And the favorite newspaper hereabouts is the Boston Traveler.
If you enjoy my television pictures and my radio show, I'm sure you'll like the new Hopalong Cassidy comic strip. It will be full of fast, hard-riding action and adventure and plenty of thrills. Topper's in it, too. And we tango with some pretty tough hombres right from the start. I hope you enjoy it.
Wait for me, Bob. I want to reserve my Boston Traveler for next Wednesday, too. Won't catch me missing a single episode of Hopalong Cassidy.
You did. You did pick two good men for that.
You know, I won't miss one.
Why?
I'd be fired if I did. But anyway, I think that should be real great, Hopalong Cassidy. He's always been a big favorite of mine.
Ray, I happen to have seen a few of the advance releases from this mighty interesting Western adventure strip.
You did, Tex? What do you think about it?
I think it's here to stay, and I want to go on record as saying that.
Well, anyway, I think Bill Boyd will go to work on his third million now.
Well, I think Bill will get along with three squares a day. After all, that's what counts.
You bet. It's the biggest thing in life. Down here by the old chuck wagon.
You said it. Under that western moon on the prairie.
There in the old sneakers. Well, those were the days. Now, why don't we go out west for a while? Or do you think we ought to do our...
Well, we had an interesting discovery one time this past year. when we roamed to the far-off Orient, discovered a program very similar to one that we were used to listening to around here. Remember that one?
Oh, I remember now. The Yangtze River Incorporated presents Mr. Lee and his unoriginal Bad Will Hour.
Thank you, Mr. Warren. First problem, please.
My problem is this, Mr. Lee.
Don't mention any proper name or place, please.
Good. I've been a pirate on the Yellow River.
Don't mention any proper name, please.
I've been a pirate on this here river.
Let me see if I have your story right to this point. You say you've been a pirate.
Yes, and I met this here woman in Hong Kong.
I see,
Excuse
me, you have a bit of chasu din on lapel there.
What?
A chasu din on lapel. Now, continue with a problem, please.
This here woman, she shanghaied me.
Oh, I see. This woman shanghaied you, huh?
Well, to make a long story short, Mr. Lee.
That's all we want here, yeah.
I've come for your advice. I mean, I don't know what to do. I didn't tell you I shot her.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah.
You have told anybody about this?
What, you think it's crazy? No, the cops would be looking for me then.
My advice to you is to get out of town quick.
I see. Any particular town?
No, I don't want to mention any particular town. Maybe you have relatives you can go live with. You have sisters?
Yeah, I got three sisters. Patty, Maxine, and Levine.
I will suggest you go live. Go live with them. Until this whole thing's over.
I don't know. They'd be glad to see me, you know. I mean, they don't like me, I don't think, you know.
You understand I cannot give you legal advice on program, though no tongue will be after me.
I see.
However, if you say see me in my pagoda after program, I give you a little more advice.
Incidentally, friends, if you'd like to buy a Tong War Bond, simply send along $10 to Tong War Bonds, care of this station.
Then we went out west several times last year. We went into hot water two or three times.
And
we didn't have any soap with us, but it helped matters.
Remember the time we made the movie short?
Yes.
It was about two or three reels short.
Yeah.
It only had one reel, and both of us were hung in that first reel, and everyone was dissatisfied when they went to our opening night at Grauman's Chinese Theater. We had fresh cement there, and we were stuck in the lobby, don't
They're
you know?
They're still standing there. We bring them food.
I'm reminded of the great poet Browning, who once said, any more commercials?
No, we've run through the commercials.
Well, look, here's another thing. Here's a song written by Joe Candulo, Bob.
Oh, yes, sir.
And Jack Joyce, and Ken and Will, Ken and Bill played it earlier. So why don't we sing it? I Want to Go Home with You.
Well, you sing it. I don't really know.
All right. I don't know it very well myself. So don't laugh at me, friends. Maybe someday you'll have to sing.
This was the big new voice of 1949.
Incidentally, don't be you sitting around radios at home. Don't be giggling at me, you know? I'm very tender, you know? Okay. I wanna go home with you. I wanna go home with you. I wanna meet the family. I'm sure that they'll approve of me. I wanna go home with you, and nobody else will do. Kissing goodnight at your front door makes me love you more and more.
You both ain't giggling now. You never will be.
This phone ring, Bob.
Yes, it did.
Hello?
It's a lucky thing.
Okay, lady. Yeah, I know. I've never had no train or nothing like that, no. Yeah. Thank you.
Hang up in a bit.
Thank you very
she
much,
no
Matt.
Talent when she hears.
I want to go home with you. Thank you and good night.
There you have the
you like
big,
that one?
Big new voice of last year.
So get your votes in. Remember, the honor city is Superior, Wisconsin. And
number out there is 717-223-4489.
Here, I'll call him right now, as a matter of fact. Now, this is how you call him.
You getting it, you darling?
Yeah, I'm getting it now.
Quite a long number.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Longer than we have here in Boston.
Sure is. The biggest city, I
think.
Yeah. There she is. Hello?
Hello, is this the Honor City?
Right-o.
Is this the right number?
I believe it is, sir. 717-423-44968.
No, that's the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I better hang up.
All right.
Here, I'll dial him again.
All right.
I got this time.
Hello?
Hello?
Got the right number this time.
Yes, I want to vote for Ray Goulding.
Okay,
great.
I'll put your vote down here on our master tabulator.
Thank you very much, sir, for calling.
And master tabulator is standing right beside me. I'd like to have him say a few words.
Thanks very much, Bob.
How old are you?
It's awful good to be here with you.
Well, thanks to have you, man.
Yeah, certainly.
Bill Green,
But now, the makers of Snickers presents Dr. O.K., the sentimental banker. So we're taking out of the stage of Lowe's Polite Theater, and last chance has caught you on. Dr. O.K., the sentimental banker.
Thank you, Mr. Sturdley. Before we get to our questions and contestants for today, let me introduce my assistants here at Lowe's Poli Theater, Last Chance Saskatchewan. In the orchestra to my right, Ed Sturdley.
Thank you, Doctor.
In the center orchestra, Ed Sturdley.
Thank you, Doctor.
In the orchestra to my left, downstairs, Ed Sturdley.
I'm not going too fast for you, Doctor.
Yes, you are. Now, in the balcony upstairs, Ed Sturdley. And all to our first contestant,
you,
Ed Sturdley, in the orchestra downstairs. In the balcony upstairs. Hurry along now, please. We don't have too much time.
I have a gentleman, Doctor.
All right, for that gentleman, Doctor, here's our famous American question. I can give you three clues. If you answer after the first, your prize will be a portable wall safe. If you answer after the second, a genuine live chameleon from the island of Madagascar. But if it takes you all three clues, your prize will be an electric welding kit. Is that clear, sir?
Yes, sir.
The number one clue, I was born.
Ah, it's not Williams, Margaret O'Brien, and William Pellick.
Those are good guesses, sir, but they're not correct. Let's wait for your second clue.
Flicker.
No,
Flicker.
I'm sorry. I invented the steamboat. Wait for your clues. I invented the steamboat, the electric typewriter. I hung by my thumbs from the Empire State Building for 2 hours and 45 minutes before dropping off. Who am I?
Oh, Grant Volney.
Oh, you're right as far as you've gone, sir. You'll have to complete his name.
Grant
Volney what, sir?
Grant Volney LeBert.
No.
Grant Volney McGee.
No, I...
Grant Volney,
Oh, I'm awfully sorry. Your time is up, sir. I think you'd find his full name to be Grant Volney Jr. But Snickers today. What size Snickers do you wear, sir?
8.5.
And your name and address, please.
John Kieran, New York 20, New York.
See, boy, that about winds things up, sir.
Yeah, it should before the clock arrives.
Last program, the last area, the last year, wrong spot, a little late, dog.
Now, look, everybody, be real careful this weekend, will you? And be around Monday so that you can listen to us if for no other reason. We'll try to be here. In fact, we will.
Well, we expect to be.
And we'll play
all preparations.
Yeah. Bill Green plays the piano. Jimmy Sullivan was our grand.
Your grand, Jim.
Matinee with Bob and Ray is heard every day, Monday through Saturday at 1 o'clock. Remember, if you get work, write and hang by your thumbs. Happy New Year, everybody.
WHDH in the good old city of... Isn't it? New Year? What is it? What happened?
Wait a minute. Stop. Wait. Whoa.
Stop the music.
Wait a minute. We have to find out what goes on the air here. What goes on the air here, Bob?
Regent Cigarettes.
Regent Cigarettes. What do you know about that?
You mean...
Yes, this can mean war.
Here, hand me the phone. Hello, Washington? George?
Correction, please. Regents do not cost extra.
Correction, please. Regents do not cost extra.
King-size Regent cigarettes are oval-shaped for 10% cooler smoking. Yet Regents cost not 1 cent extra.
Luxury smoke.
Regular price. Regent cigarettes.
First news first, here is the 1:30 edition of the Herald Traveler News. The United States and the other four members of the Inter-American Peace Committee have joined in censuring the Dominican Republic. The committee has sharply criticized the Dominican government for giving President Trujillo the power to, de-